Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, I have a somewhat brief but crucial message today focusing on repentance, reconciliation, and forgiveness. However, before I go there, I want to bring a quick current events update on the status in the courts of Jesuit Joe Biden's vaccine mandates. Biden announced his vaccine policy last September 8th, and then on November 4th, OSHA released its implementing regulations requiring all employers with 100 or more employees to be fully vaxxed for COVID-19 via the experimental gene-altering injections that are being provided. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis immediately held a news conference the same day that the regulations were released, announcing that the next day, as soon as what he called the unlawful emergency temporary standard was to be published in the Federal Register, his office was filing suit against the regulations in the 11th Circuit in Atlanta. And he identified purely procedural and constitutional grounds for doing so. DeSantis then also convened an emergency session of the Florida legislature where four laws were quickly passed blocking the unrestricted implementation of OSHA's mandates in the state of Florida. Three of those laws have application to the vaccine mandate and would possibly affect employees and healthcare workers in the state. And the fourth has only to do with the state of Florida working to create its own plan for occupational safety for all employees. And part of that process includes giving the governor's office $1 million to propose its own version of OSHA for Florida. DeSantis signed those statutes into law last November 18th. And under these three statutes that apply to the vaccine mandates, effective immediately in Florida, private employer COVID-19 vaccine mandates are prohibited unless employees are offered five possible types of exemptions to the mandate. Florida Statute Section 381.003017, subsection 1 now says, quote, a private employer may not impose a COVID-19 vaccination mandate for any full-time, part-time, or contract employee without providing individual exemptions that allow an employee to opt out of such requirement on the basis of medical reasons, including but not limited to pregnancy or anticipated pregnancy, religious reasons, COVID-19 immunity, natural immunity, periodic testing, or the use of employer-provided personal protective equipment. Those five types of exemptions have to be offered. Under subsection 4 of that statute, employers who violate these employee health protections will be fined. Small businesses of 99 employees or less will face $10,000 per employee violation, and medium and big businesses will face $50,000 per employee per violation. Also under these new statutes, effective immediately in Florida, government entities may not require COVID-19 vaccinations of anyone, including employees. Educational institutions may not require students to be COVID-19 vaccinated. School districts may not have school face mask policies. School districts cannot quarantine healthy students. And students and parents may sue violating school districts and recover costs and attorney fees under these laws. Also, one of these statutes stripped the Florida Surgeon General of the authority that office formerly held to mandate vaccines during a public health emergency. That original rule was actually passed in 2002 following security concerns after the September 11th so-called terrorist attacks. When the legislature granted the state surgeon general the ability to exercise emergency powers, which included vaccine mandates, quote, by any means necessary. Those powers are now gone. However, for some unexplained reason, two of these statutes expire on June 1st, 2023, and the third will stand repealed on October 2nd, 2023. And so I find those provisions to be more than a little bit suspect. However, those laws are now in effect in Florida, making Florida somewhat of a temporary safe haven from vaccine mandates. Although to avail himself of one of these exemptions listed, an employee does need to follow the guidelines provided in the statutes. At the same time, then, DeSantis said his office was filing suit in the 11th Circuit Similar lawsuits against the mandates were also filed by several other states, including a lawsuit filed in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans by Texas, West Virginia, and several other states, along with several conservative groups, business associations, and companies. That lawsuit was accompanied by an emergency motion for a temporary stay pending review of the court, which motion was granted on November 12th, effectively halting enforcement of Biden's OSHA mandate for employers with more than 100 employees. Then on November 29th, a similar stay order was handed down by a federal court for the Eastern District of Missouri, blocking enforcement of Biden's COVID vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in 10 states, including Alaska, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. And then on Monday, December 13th, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis upheld that stay order, shooting down an emergency motion from the Biden administration to have it lifted and temporarily blocking enforcement of the mandate nationwide. And so then on December 17th, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit reinstated the OSHA rule, went against the Fifth Circuit, reinstated the OSHA rule and the vaccine mandate for employees, forcing the issue to the Supreme Court. And so then the Supreme Court this past Friday heard oral argument on the matter in an emergency session. And the court actually will likely, I think, rule rather quickly since the mandate is supposed to go into effect tomorrow, January 10th. One article posted by CNN says the Supreme Court appears to be poised to block Biden's OSHA mandate for employers, but appear more open to enforcing the mandate for healthcare workers. Conservative Justices Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Amy Coney Barrett suggested that the Biden administration's rule was too broad. Barrett asked whether a more targeted regulation aimed at industries with a higher risk of transmission would be more likely to pass legal muster. Justice Thomas suggested that younger, unvaccinated workers might have fewer health risks and should not be subjected to the same rules as older workers. He also said that states could be better suited than the federal government to require vaccines or testing under their authority to pass laws to protect public health and safety. Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh questioned whether a federal agency could issue a regulation with such vast economic and political significance without the clear authorization of Congress. And Chief Justice John Roberts seemed to agree on that point and basically asked if the government had responded on an agency-by-agency basis in order to get around the fact that Congress and some states had failed to act. At the same time, and according to another article, the liberal trio of justices, Stephen Breyer, Elena Kagan, and Sonia Sotomayor, they made claims during oral arguments that this article said could have been classified as incorrect, ignorant, misinformed, or hysterically exaggerated. And that's, I think, an understatement. Sotomayor, who, due to her diabetes, opted to take part in the hearing remotely. She was the worst, well, this article says she was the worst offender. I'm not so sure about that. The article says, quote, at one point, the Bronx-born jurist claimed that implementing the regulation for businesses was necessary because, quote, Omicron is as deadly as Delta. We have hospitals that are almost full at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We know that's not true from Omicron. She said, quote, we have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, Sotomayor added, and many on ventilators. That is a bald-faced lie, absolute hogwash. Not only did Sotomayor's statement contradict what experts who say Omicron is less severe than Delta, but it also defied data from the Department of Health and Human Services showing a total of only 3,342 confirmed pediatric hospitalizations with COVID-19 across the U.S. as of Friday, which Sotomayor exaggerated by a factor of 30. Multiply that times 30 to come up with 100,000 versus 3,000. Perhaps more disturbingly, the article says Sotomayor said at another point in the argument that, quote, I'm not sure I understand the distinction why the states would have the power to institute a rule like the one being pursued by the Biden administration, but the federal government wouldn't. One Republican political consultant named Liz Meyer snapped on Twitter, quote, Read the Commerce Clause in the 10th Amendment, lady. Yeah, no kidding. So it appears Sotomayor is clueless in regard to reservation of powers held by the states. Sotomayor doesn't even know the Constitution. This is the caliber of jurists and political appointees we have on the bench today. Last but certainly not least, when liberal Justice Stephen Breyer waded into the fray, the article says, he suggested that the OSHA rule was needed because, quote, hospitals are full almost to the point of maximum, and that 750 million new cases had been reported in the U.S. yesterday. This is what Stephen Breyer said. That despite the fact that the population of America is only around 330 million. This is the current state of depraved mind in the highest court of this land. This is not jurisprudence. What this is the weaponization of the judiciary to service the demands of those who own Washington, D.C. Personally, I will be very surprised if the Supreme Court does anything to block these mandates. In fact, it appears to me that these lawsuits have been set up from the beginning, as I've said earlier, set up from the beginning for failure, based strictly on procedural grounds rather than factual. Nowhere in these lawsuits are the facts of the entire COVID-19 narrative being called into question. These lawsuits are not based, as they should have been, on the extreme danger that these vaccines pose, that they're still experimental, that the actual numbers of deaths caused by the vaccines, which we now know surpasses the number of deaths caused by the disease, and that plus the much higher case numbers of permanent disability that have been caused by the vaccines. There's no mention in these lawsuits of the entire charade of the faulty PCR tests and the exaggerated case numbers and the lie from the very beginning that there were no alternate therapies, which was propagated, as we know, to enable emergency use authorization for these vaccines. And all this was kept out of court because Joe Biden's opposition, Governor Ron DeSantis included, who still promotes the vaccines, is a controlled opposition. Arguing these cases on faulty grounds, I believe, to keep the real issues from coming into court. And these wild claims and bald-faced lies being spouted by these so-called justices are anything but factual. As we know, a majority of these so-called justices are Jesuit-trained Roman Catholics, just like Joe Biden and Anthony Fauci, and they have a higher power they subscribe to in Rome. And also, just as all employers across this land have been instrumental in enforcing the federal government's unconstitutional misapplication of the income tax laws for decades, so they will be instrumental in enforcing these wicked-as-hell vaccine mandates. And so to all of you who work for an employer that you know is poised to enforce these mandates, while obtaining an exemption, especially here in Florida, may be successful in the short term, I would still encourage you to begin working on starting businesses of your own and performing a service in the community that you can somehow profit from, especially since the Bible indicates that even darker days lie ahead for us all. So much for that subject. On a brighter note, now onto my message for the day. Turn, please, in your Bibles with me today to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12.